I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter. Matthew's Gospel, the 25th chapter. Now, I'm going to cover a lot of Scripture today, and I'm going to do it, some of it, rapidly, and you're not going to have time to turn pages during some of this. And so if you like to follow along in the Scripture, let me encourage you to take a piece of paper and a pencil and jot some of them down, the ones that we're moving through quickly. Some of them we're going to look at in more depth, and you'll be able to follow along with me. Others, you'll not be able to turn quick enough. We'll be finished with that one and on to another. And so if you're like some, you'll come into church, and I think sometimes I don't realize that I've been working with these Scriptures for hours, perhaps, and I understand what they say, and it's so clear to me that sometimes I'm not aware that it's not immediately as clear to you. And I move at my pace rather than at your pace, and so I may have a little, my understanding may come together quicker than yours. That's all right. You take a pencil and a piece of paper and write those Scriptures down, and when you go home, look them up for yourself or use them through the week as your study material, and make sure that what I'm declaring to you is what the Word of God says. You have that responsibility, don't you know it? See, that's why each of you have Bible. How many of you own at least one Bible? How many of you own at least three Bibles? How many of you own at least five Bibles? Almost as many hands as one. Now, how many of you can read? Let's put that all together then, huh? Get your Bible and read it, and make sure that what you're hearing is God's truth. Now, Father, we're coming to your Word, believing it is your truth. I believe, Father, you've anointed me to preach the Word. I believe your Spirit was given to me, and He abides with me forever. And I believe, Father, that when I stand in this place, that I speak your Word and nothing but your Word. I ask you to set the watch of your Spirit over my lips, and that should I come to a place where I am ready to speak something that's not of you, I ask you, Father, to cause that to stop and not allow it to come forth. In the name of Jesus now, Father, let your Word flow as a river of truth and of life. For Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He said that it was by the knowing of the truth, by the revelation of the truth of your Word, that we would be made free and kept free. And so let those rivers of truth flow this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In Matthew's Gospel, the 25th chapter, beginning to read in the 31st verse. Now, I'm going to read through this rather quickly. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture, but it is one that is badly, badly, badly misunderstood. And I'm going to clarify that with other Scripture that will appear to us more clearly. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, 25:31 I'm reading, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from the other, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee, a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now, if you read that scripture as I do, it becomes very clear that to be a righteous person is good. To be an unrighteous person is bad. That to be a righteous person gets for you or procures for you the gift of eternal life. To be an unrighteous person procures for you everlasting fire and a cursed, tormenting death. And so just on that basis alone, it would appear to anybody who would just read this Bible casually that it is far better to be righteous than it is to be unrighteous. That it is not only far better, it is terribly important for a man to be found righteous rather than for him to be found unrighteous. In addition to this scripture, which tells us that the unrighteous inherit everlasting fire and the righteous inherit everlasting life, God's word is chock full of promises for the righteous. The word of God from cover to cover is full of hundreds, yes, even thousands of magnificent, wonderful, marvelous promises that are made to those who are righteous. It is also full of warnings, of dire warnings and cautions against those that are unrighteous or against what the Bible calls the wicked. A few of the promises that God makes to the righteous are these. First of all, God promises to hear and answer the prayer of the righteous. 1 Peter 3:12 tells us that for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. James 5:16 tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so we see that God's promise to hear and answer prayer is to the righteous. Unfortunately, because we do not understand what God's word tells us about righteousness or about a righteous person, we never really feel that we can adequately get our prayers either heard or answered because we don't feel righteous. God's word promises material prosperity to the righteous. Listen to some of these. Proverbs 10 and 24 tells us that the desire of the righteous shall be granted. How about that one? The desire of the righteous shall be granted. Now, wouldn't you like to be righteous? Huh? To get your desire granted. It's the promise of Almighty God that the desire of the righteous should be granted. Proverbs 15 and 6 says this, In the house of the righteous is much treasure. In the house of the righteous is much treasure. Proverbs 11 and 28 says, The righteous shall flourish like a branch. Proverbs 11, 31 tells us that the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth. Not when we get to heaven, but right here and now in this earth. Psalms 37 and 29 tells us that the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Psalm 37 and 25 says, I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging for bread. God's word tells us that the righteous will have deliverance and protection and healing. They're all parts of the inheritance of the righteous. Psalm 34 and 19 tells us, Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. All. Isaiah 3:10 instructs the prophet, Say ye to the righteous that it will be well to him. It will be well to him. Psalm 5 and 12 we read earlier today. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. And Psalm 34 and 21 tells us that our enemies shall be made desolate. They that hate the righteous shall be desolate. God's word tells us that the righteous will be successful in their warfare, in their spiritual warfare. Proverbs 28:1 tells us that the righteous are bold as a lion. Ephesians 6:14 tells us to stand, therefore, having on the breastplate of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 6:7 tells us about the armor of righteousness. God's word tells us that we will have clear direction if we are righteous. Psalm 37 and 31 says that the law of his God is in his heart, that is the righteous man, and none of his steps shall slide. Now, how about that one? None of his steps shall slide. And Proverbs 15 and 19 says that the way of the righteous is made plain. Now, if I did not cover your promise, if I did not specify a promise from the Word of God for your need, then get a hold of this one. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given unto you. All these things shall... Now, that ought to catch everything you need, friend, whatever it is. But the promises are to the righteous. The promises are to those that are righteous according to the Word of God. Righteousness is the key to receiving from God. You can't receive from God if you're not righteous. I want you to know that if you're numbered among the unrighteous, if you're numbered among the wicked, if you're numbered among the evil, the promise we read out of Matthew 25 and verse 41 is for you. Everlasting fire and torment forever. But if you're among the upright, among the just, among the righteous, all of the promises that we've just read, they're your inheritance, and many other like promises that we don't have time to refer to today. Righteousness is the key to receiving from God. If you're righteous, the promise of God is for you. If you're unrighteous, you're under his curse. Now, Jesus said something to us very interesting in Matthew's Gospel, the 5th chapter and the 20th verse. He said, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, you must have a whole lot of this righteousness. You've got to have a whole lot more than the religious people of his day. The scribes and the Pharisees, they were all the high muckety-mucks in the church on the day that the Lord Jesus lived. And he said, except your righteousness be higher than theirs and more than theirs, unless your righteousness exceeds theirs, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. You will never enjoy any of its privileges or its benefits. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter and the 34th verse, he says, awake to righteousness. Wake up. And sin not. Wake up to righteousness and don't sin. Now, because of some of the things that I've just shared with you, and because of scriptures like we just read out of Matthew 25, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and very many very sincere people within the church of Christ are doing the very best they know how to be righteous. They are day by day living a life which is striving and seeking after righteousness. They are trying to do righteousness in order to be righteous enough to get their prayers answered, to get their bodies healed, to get their kids delivered, to get themselves delivered and protected, in order to have prosperity in their material and financial life. They're doing the best they know how, very sincerely, striving and seeking after the righteousness of God, trying to feed the sick, trying to visit those that are in prison, trying to clothe the naked, because Jesus said here that that was a work of righteousness, that that was the effect of righteousness. Unfortunately, God's people have missed the point. Missed it, missed it. running so far away from the truth of God's word that there's no semblance of resemblance to it. And God's people have majored in Romans 3:10. How many of you know what Romans 3:10 is? There is none righteous. No, not one. Now, if that is for us today, then we are of all men most miserable. If righteousness is the key to receiving from God, and there's none righteous, no, not one, we are all in a sorry fix, aren't we? We have become, because of a misunderstanding of this principle of righteousness, and because of a misunderstanding of God's word and not rightly dividing the word of truth, and because we've been preached wrongly to, because we've sat under the wrong kind of ministry, because we've heard men's ideas rather than what the Word of God says, we misunderstand this whole business of righteousness. We don't understand at all what God's Word is talking about righteousness here. And unfortunately, that has kept hundreds of thousands, probably millions in the body of Christ under bondage of sin, under bondage of sickness, under bondage of poverty, under bondage. There are people sitting in church chairs and pews like this all over the world that are sitting there still dead on the inside. Absolutely dead. Never ever having eternal life because they don't think that they are righteous enough. If I were to say this scripture to you, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," how many of you would recognize that? How many of you have heard that scripture before? Let me see your hands. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Most of you have heard that scripture. Now listen to this one. "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference." How many of you have heard that scripture? Half a dozen or so. Now I want you to turn, please, to Romans, the third chapter. I want you to see what we have done. I say we, I mean the church at large, the church as a whole. When I say the word righteousness to you, or when I, perhaps not to you, because I think many of you already know the point I'm making here this morning, but if I were to say the word righteousness to most church people, you know and I know that if I ask what is righteousness, they would say, well, good living, doing right, living a right kind of life, doing the things that are in accordance with the Word of God, not doing evil or not doing sin. But that's not what Bible righteousness is all about. Bible righteousness is not what you do, it's what you are. Bible righteousness is not something that you can do, it's something that you must become. Righteousness means right standing with God. Righteousness means I am made right with God. And righteousness is not brought to you or to me because of what we do. Now are you at Romans 3? Look at verse number 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all know that verse. I think most of you raised your hands when I asked you if you remembered that verse. But only 5 or 6 of you raised your hand when I asked you if you remembered the verse right before it. "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference, all have sinned." Now what's Paul talking about here? Paul is talking about a righteousness which comes by faith in Jesus Christ. It does not come by doing good works. It comes by believing that Jesus is who He said He was. Now watch this. I'm going to begin to read up in verse 20, and I want to read through this passage, and I want you to watch it. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law..." Now the deeds of the law are not working on Sunday, honoring your mother and father, not killing anybody, not committing adultery, not stealing anything, not bearing false witness, not coveting what belongs to somebody else. Those are the works of the law. In other words, it's good, clean living, doing what's right. Paul said, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. How many of you are in a fleshly body? Let me see your hands if you're living today in a fleshly body. All right, now, in your present condition, Paul said that by doing good deeds, there are none of us who are going to be justified in the sight of God. The word justify, as you read it through the New Testament, is the same Greek word. It's from the same root as the word righteous. And you can interchange the word justification and righteousness. You can interchange the word just and righteous, where it says the just shall live by faith. You can interchange that, say the righteous shall live by faith. It's the same word in the Greek. And so Paul is saying that by the works of the law, the deeds of the law, no person is going to be made righteous in the sight of God. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. In other words, the only thing the law does is tell us what we did wrong. Verse 21, but now, present tense, the righteousness of God outside the law, or without the law, apart from the law, is manifested or shown plainly, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, if you read the Old Testament carefully, you'll see that the law and the Old Testament and the prophets from the Old Testament, they pointed to this righteousness which comes by faith. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe. How do we receive righteousness today? According to that scripture, how does the righteousness of God become ours? By believing in Jesus Christ. For there's no difference. This righteousness is applicable to everyone. This righteousness comes to every person, man, woman, boy, girl, black, white, red, yellow, makes no difference, old, young. The righteousness which comes by faith is that which comes by believing in Jesus Christ. And Paul says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But verse number 24, we're told that we are justified or made righteous freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, this is a terribly important principle for us to get a hold of. I said before that all of God's promises are based on righteousness. Every promise that God made, He made to the righteous. And righteousness is the key to receiving anything from God. And if you are not righteous, you're not entitled to those promises. If you're unrighteous, the promises don't belong to you. Now, you can get righteous, and then you can become an heir to the promises. But as long as you're unrighteous, the promises don't belong to you. They belong to the righteous. And as long as you think that you have to be good enough in order to be righteous in the sight of God, that's how long the devil will keep you from getting your body healed. That's how long the devil will keep you from getting the gift of everlasting life. That's how long the devil will keep you poor and unable to make your house payments. And that's how long the devil will keep you and your children separated. That's how long the devil will keep you in bondage, as long as you think that you can't be righteous enough to please God. And what this is designed to do this morning, this word that God's speaking to you this morning, is to break the shackles on that thing and see, let you see for yourself that God's righteousness comes to us by faith in Christ Jesus. And it's standing, not fruit. We're not talking about the fruit of a Christian life. We're talking about the standing that a man has with God. Now let me read on here, verse 25. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified or made righteous by faith without the deeds of the law. Now remember that scripture. We conclude. Paul says the conclusion of this argument is this, that a man is made right with God. He is made the righteousness of God by his faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, not by his clean living, not by his good works, not because he's been baptized a certain way, not because he gives tithes and has for 20 years, not because his family was a staunch church family, not because his Aunt Mildred built the church, not because his Uncle Josh was a pastor, a circuit rider in the Methodist Church, bless the Lord. None of those things make a man righteous with God. Not because he's had communion, not because he has a perfect attendance pin for Sunday school for 25 years, not because he's an elder or a deacon, bless God, not because he's a preacher. Our pulpits are filled with men who don't know God. Not this one, I'll tell you. Not ever, as far as I know. But across our country and across our world, these pulpits are full of men who are trying to justify themselves by their righteous deeds instead of by simple faith in Christ Jesus, and they are leading their flocks to try to do the same. And it can't be done. It can't be done. All it will do is frustrate you, and it'll take you to an early grave. That's right. We conclude that God justifies men by faith without the deeds of the law. We are made righteous when we believe in Jesus Christ. I don't want you to ever forget this. It's terribly important. It's essential to us if we're going to receive any of God's promises. Now, when you get right down to it, beloved, God has always done things this way. He didn't just change it when Jesus came along. Paul went on in the fourth chapter of the book of Romans, and he gave us the example of Abraham. Abraham lived 400 years before the law ever came along. Abraham lived over 400 years before the Ten Commandments were ever written. But God called him righteous. You know why? Because he believed God. God spoke to him and he said, man, I'm going to make you so numerous, your descendants, they're going to be like the sand on the seashore. They're going to be like the stars in the sky that can't be numbered. And the scripture says in Genesis 15:6, and Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him righteousness. Now let me tell you something. When you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, when you believe that God raised him from the dead, when you believe that he laid your sins upon Christ and the price was paid by his death, that very minute God says you're righteous. And that very minute you become entitled to all of the promises that are in this wonderful promise book. That very day, every one of these promises, the ones I read to you and the ones that I didn't read to you, they become yours. Because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. And that's on the back of your bulletin this morning, I believe. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Let me read through here chapter 4, just some of these scriptures. It's very important to us, I believe. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. In other words, let me give you an example of Abraham. For if Abraham were justified or made righteous by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. In other words, he just got his due reward. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Verse number 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Listen, beloved, there isn't any way that you could pay the price for your sin. There isn't any way that I could pay the price for my sin. I tell you, you just look inward and just begin to enumerate some of the sin that's been in your life as if I did it in mine. I don't have enough years to pay that off. Neither do you. It's not like taking a 3-year car note It's not like taking a 40-year mortgage. The wages of sin is you can't pay that off. God's blessing is upon us because our sins are forgiven us and our iniquities are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. When we believe on Jesus Christ, we get right standing with God. He no longer sees our sin. He no longer knows our sin. He no longer remembers our sin. He says, I declare you to be right with me. I declare you to be just as if you had never sinned. All I've asked you to do is believe on my Son. If you'll do that, I'll make you right with me. I don't care if you've never attended a church. I don't care if you've never been baptized. I don't care if you've never given a first dime into a church offering plate. I don't care if you're the worst sinner that the world has ever known. God's Word says to you, if you will believe on my Son, I declare you righteous. I don't care if the whole world says you're still a sinner. I say you're righteous. Do you hear me?
Amen.
That's the gospel. And the same principle applies to all of the promises of God. He says, I don't care if the whole world doesn't think I ought to hear your prayers, but if you're righteous by faith in my Son, I hear your prayers. I not only hear them, but I answer them. I don't care if the whole world thinks that I shouldn't heal your body. If you're righteous with me because of your faith in my Son, I will heal your body. It belongs to you. If the whole church won't believe, I'll believe, he said. The healing belongs to you. Prosperity belongs to you. Everlasting life belongs to you. Success in spiritual warfare belongs to you because you're right with me by faith in my Son. It belongs not only to Abraham, it belongs to us if we'll do the same. Now look over in verse 11, chapter 4 and verse 11. I want to knock some things in the head. Had a brother come to me this week and some folks are trying to give him a bunch of Jesus-only doctrine. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus only, and you must be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You must speak in tongues or you're not saved. Well, I want you to know that that's a doctrine of works, and that's a doctrine of righteousness by works, and it's not a doctrine which is according to the Word of God. And I want you to see right here that Abraham was right before God before he ever did a single work. Now watch it. And he, that is Abraham, received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised. Now, when was Abraham righteous? Before he was circumcised or after? Before he was circumcised. Why did he get circumcised? Because it was to be a sign and a seal of the covenant that God had made for him. And baptism is the same way today. It's an important sacrament. It's an important observance of the church, but it does not save you. I want you to know I was baptized 37 years before I was saved. How many of you were baptized before you were saved? About 80% of the church. Dumb. It's a works doctrine. Righteousness comes by faith, not by doing the works of the law. I don't care whose works they are. It comes by faith in Christ. It doesn't come by any other way. And bless the Lord, it does come always by faith. If you exercise faith in the name of Jesus Christ, faith in His atoning work, faith in His resurrection from the dead, faith in His work beside the Father right today, I want you to know that you're righteous before God. I want you to know that you are the righteousness of God Himself. I want you to know that you have right standing with God and you're entitled to the promises that He made. They belong to you. They do. They're ours, praise the Lord. They belong to us. They were given to us. The righteous shall inherit eternal life. Now turn with me over to the gospel, over to chapter 10 of Romans, or chapter 9. While you're going there, those of you that are taking notes, I want you just to jot down Romans 5, 17, 18, and 19. Where we are told so clearly that righteousness is a gift. It can't be earned. It's called the gift of righteousness. That we do not earn righteousness, but rather we are made righteous by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, you make note of that. The gift of righteousness. It's a free gift of God. Now in Romans chapter 9, Paul describes what is wrong with the Jews of his day, and it's the same mistake that is being made today by hundreds of thousands of church-going people, sincere-minded, desiring to do right, who are giving their tithes and are teaching their Sunday schools and are watching their language and are doing all the things that they think will make them good enough to please God. And then maybe if they're good enough, maybe they can get a prayer answered. Maybe if they're good enough, maybe God will show them another man who's righteous enough to have his prayers heard. Living defeated lives, just like these Jews. Now watch what Paul says was their problem. Now some of you, before I read this scripture, some of you, I want to say to you, there may be some of you are here today that are in this situation, and if this scripture doesn't knock that thing full of holes, there's something wrong with your ears, or there's something wrong with your heart. But probably more of you than are here and having this problem for yourselves, many of you have parents that have this problem, or relatives, brothers, sisters, in-laws, aunts, uncles, grandparents, wonderful, lovely, beautiful people who are wasting away to nothing, losing their lives because they are ignorant of the Word of God. Jesus said, "My people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge." Do you know that you can be destroyed because your ignorance, because you don't know what God promised? You know that? I was. How many of you were? Had it happened to us? Watch this now. Romans 9, verse number 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, in other words, they didn't try to do good works, they have obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, or why? They tried so hard, but they never obtained it. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed." Now this is precisely why, beloved, there are many in churches today, some of them in your own families, who don't understand you, who you bug. Can I use the term bug? You bug them. Do you know why you bug them? Because they've been living for 40 years trying to do right. They've been living for 40 years abstaining from the works of evil. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good. They've been living 40 years trying to serve the Lord. Every Sunday they went to church. They hadn't wanted to go to church in 35 of those 40 years, but they went every Sunday. They put their tithes in the plate because they wanted to know, because they thought if they didn't, that God had cast them into an everlasting fire. And they've been living in fear and operating in fear and trying to do right all of these years. And then all of a sudden, you lived in sin all your life. You just lived for the devil. One day you got the gospel and you took Jesus as your Savior. You got filled with the Holy Ghost. You didn't stumble over the stumbling stone. See, you fell on that stone and it broke you instead of you trying to break it. You got filled with the Holy Spirit, rivers of living water flowing out of your mouth. You're happy. You're rejoicing in God. Your kids are getting healed. You're getting prosperous. Everything is wonderful. And they despise you for it because that, how could you do that? And we've been 40 years and we're still miserable. It's the same thing that Paul's talking about here. He says the Jews tried all their lives to attain righteousness by doing the works of righteousness, and it never worked. But here you come bip-bopping along, you hear the gospel, and you receive Jesus, you see. You receive him by faith, and he makes you righteous, and all of a sudden you got a heavenly Father that's just like, what do you want, son? Well, oh yeah, okay, we'll just take care of it for you. And they don't understand that. And they never will until they learn righteousness. Until they learn what we are talking about here this morning. The Jews missed it. And that's where our churches are missing it today. They're missing it because they're trying to do righteousness instead of receiving the gift of righteousness. Now let me go down into Romans 10. And we'll close with this passage of Scripture, I believe. But I want to prepare you to receive something from the Lord today. If you're not saved, I want to prepare you to receive everlasting life. The righteous receive everlasting life. If you're not healed, I want you to be prepared by the Word of God to receive healing. If you're not prospering, or if you're oppressed, or whatever your need is, I want to prepare you by the proclamation of the Word to receive your needs met. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. You ever know anybody like that? Have a zeal towards God. Want to please God, but not doing it according to knowledge. Do you know what they are doing it according to? Tradition. Men's tradition. What some preacher said. Oh, godly man ministered in my daddy's church 25 years, but rarely preached the truth. See, length of service is not what gets it done. It's in what's in line with the Word of God. I tell you, you can preach 25 years behind a pulpit and preach lies. They did not seek God according to knowledge. Now, my Bible says this. Yours does too, if you'll check it out. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. Now listen, I'm not putting anybody down this morning. Don't mean to put anybody down. What I want to do is lift them up. I want to bring them out. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, that is the gospel, the word, it is the power of God unto salvation for all those who believe, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. For the righteousness, therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Where? Where is the righteousness of God revealed? If you wanted to know about righteousness, where would you go to find out about it? The Word. Not what somebody said. Go to the Word and find out about it. Therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith to faith. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for what? For instruction in righteousness. If you want to be instructed in righteousness, then you better get it from here. This is where it is. It's in the Word of Almighty God. It's inspired by God's Spirit. And this is where you can find out about righteousness. Not what somebody thinks about it. This is where we've missed it time and time again. Year after year after year, we've lived in defeat. We've lived in the pit. We've lived with the garbage that the devil has put upon us because we did not recognize that the promises of God were to the righteous, those who believed. We thought we had to be good enough. Bless God, you can't ever be good enough. I don't care how good you are. Jesus said, there's none good but God. Now, if you have to be good enough in order to receive something from God, you better quit. Whole bunch of you better go up. We'll open the doors and we'll just take an exit and just let me stand here preaching. Well, for all the good it'll do us. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, Romans 10 again. They have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant. Now that's a hard word. And if that offends you, I'm sorry, you'll have to take it up with God. He wrote it. For they being ignorant of what? God's righteousness. They may have knowledge of the promise, but they're ignorant of righteousness. They have a knowledge that God can heal today, but they are ignorant that they're entitled to it because they're the righteousness of God in Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? But they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law. In other words, if you want to know what righteousness that comes from the law is like, listen to Moses. The man which doeth these things shall live by them. In other words, if you want to be righteous according to the law, then you're going to have to be a good doer. You're going to have to do all the law, and you're going to have to keep it permanently. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Now watch this very carefully, beloved, because this is the key to getting your prayers answered. This is the key to receiving from God. We've established that righteousness, true righteousness, comes by faith in Christ Jesus. And on the day that you believe in Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul, you are that day righteous and you will never, ever be any more righteous. You are as righteous that moment as you will ever be. I want you to know that if you're here in this auditorium today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're not born again, you haven't been saved, you haven't received Jesus into your life, and you know when I'm talking to you that I'm not talking to righteousness, you know I'm talking to wicked, evil, all those words better describe you. And you know whether you like that or not. I mean, you just know it in your heart. Spirit of God, speak it to you while I'm talking here. That if you will receive Jesus Christ as your Savior today and make Him the Lord of your life, you will be as righteous that moment as I am. Do you know that you'll be as righteous that very moment as Jesus Christ is today? Isn't that wonderful? As Paul was saying, that's a good place for a praise the Lord. That's a wonderful place for a hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Righteousness is something which is imputed to us. You see, it comes to us when we believe on Jesus. You'll never be any more right. I don't expect to ever be any more righteous than I am right now. I expect to live more and more in line with that righteousness as the years go on. But I don't expect to ever get any better standing with God than I have right now. And I received it in September of 1975 when I gave my life to Jesus Christ and made Him the Lord of my life. I didn't know it, but I had it. See? And then as I began to get knowledge of the Word, the ignorance began to leave. And then the zeal of God that I had in my heart began to bring results because I wasn't doing it anymore ignorantly. Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law. It's the completion of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Beloved, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you have done it all. As far as righteousness is concerned. That's the end of it. That's the end of it. It makes you right with God that very moment, and it entitles you to His promises. All right, now let's go down to verse 6 now. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh. If you have God's righteousness in you, you'll talk like it. You hear me? Righteousness which is of God talks. Now, that's what offends people. That's what offends other believers. Bless God on the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. God always hears my prayers because the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and I'm righteous. You want to raise some eyebrows in traditional circles, man, you just begin to speak like that. Now that'll shake some folks up. But it'll also get your prayers answered. Let them be shaken up. Let them be shaken up. But you carry your money to the bank in a satchel with a whole body. You hear me? The righteousness which is of faith speaketh. What does it speak? It speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? In other words, don't be asking a bunch of questions in your heart about this and that and the other. Or that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what saith it? What saith what? The righteousness which is of faith. Now I'll tell you what I did to unravel this whole passage of Scripture. I took my pen and I put it down on the page right behind the word speaketh in verse number 6. And I drew me a line down to the word what in verse number 8. This way I read that passage of Scripture. See, Paul used to tuck these little things in there to make it hard to understand what he's trying to say. And he'll start a thought, and before he completes it, he puts four other things in there, and then he'll pick up the thought again down here. And if you don't separate that, you miss what he's trying to say. Now, this is the way I read that passage of Scripture. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Verse 8, what saith it? What does it speak? The word is nigh thee, in other words, this word of righteousness, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Righteousness speaks the word of faith. Righteousness talks what God said. Righteousness out of the heart flows out of the mouth in positive speaking. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In your heart you believe what I've been preaching this morning. You believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. You believe that he rose again from the dead, meaning that your sin debt is paid. It's done. It's canceled. It's over with. And that he's alive today, that he's seated at the right hand of God, our Father. You believe that in your heart. God says, I call you righteous. And if you do believe it in your heart, you'll speak it with your mouth. This is what righteousness will do. Righteousness will say, God said, if I believed on the name of the Lord, I'd have everlasting life. I believe on Jesus, therefore, I am born again. That's the way righteousness talks. Righteousness will say, the word says that by his stripes, I am healed. Bless God, I am. That's righteousness talking. The word of God says, but my God shall supply all of your needs by his riches and glory, by Christ Jesus. I'm righteous, that promise belongs to me. Therefore, my needs are met, not by my riches, but by his. The word of God says the steps of a good man are the steps of a righteous man. I begin to almost rapture when you start singing that song this morning. That's one of my favorite scriptures. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Bless God, I'm a good man. I'm not any better than you, but in Christ Jesus, I'm righteous. You understand what I'm saying? And the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. I am righteous, therefore, my steps are ordered by the Lord. Do you know what? I'm not walking on slippery ground. When I put my foot down, it's good, solid ground. God orders my steps. Now, that's righteousness talking. Do you understand what I'm saying to you today? Now, it's a lot for us to get hold of, I know, but it's a terribly important principle for us that righteousness is the key to receiving anything from God. If you don't believe you're good enough to receive from God, I don't care how many hands are laid on you. I don't care how anointed those hands are. You're getting nothing. Nothing. But if you know that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you don't even have to have a hand laid on you. All the hand does is just give you a little help in releasing your faith, and you can get anything that God has promised you. Where does righteousness come from? From God by what means? By faith in Christ Jesus. How many of you are righteous today? How many of you are not righteous but want to be? Okay, anybody else? Is anybody else here is not righteous but wants to be? Wants to give their life to Christ? Here's one right here, all right? Wants to receive the gift of everlasting life, wants to be made righteous. Is anybody else? Is the most important thing ever happened to you? All right, those of you that raised your hands, I want you to come forward. I want you to just come down here right now. I want you to step out of your seat. If you raised your hand, I want you to step down here, please. Okay. Here, just right here on the... Just stand right down here, son. You're eager, aren't you? Huh? Boy, you're sure going to get it. All right, now, brother, let me say a word to you. 2 weeks ago, you were here in the service and you gave your life to Christ, didn't you? On that day, Jesus made you righteous, declared you right. But between then and now, you've lived in a way that is not like righteousness. Eh? Okay? You'll not receive the gift of righteousness all over again. What you need today is forgiveness. You just need God's forgiveness to wash you clean from what you've done. Do you understand what I'm saying? God never cast you out as a son. When he received you as his son, you've been his son all along. And he never disenfranchised you. He never threw you out of the kingdom. You've been righteous all that time. You've had God's righteousness living in you. You just haven't lived in accordance with it. Do you understand what I'm saying? This I want. God's love has never departed from you, not for 1 minute. Now, this is what I want you, this is how I want you to pray. I want you to close your eyes and just pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you that I'm your son. I thank you that Jesus is my Lord. Therefore, I'm a righteous man. I am sorry, Father, that I've yielded myself to unrighteous works. I ask you for forgiveness of that. Wash me clean by the blood of Jesus. Restore me to fellowship with you. I thank you, Father, for your forgiveness and for your restoration. And now with your help, I'll live as becometh a child of God, allowing your righteousness to be in my mouth and to be in my life. I make my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, did you mean what you prayed? Then God's forgiveness has come to you. Now, he doesn't remember what you did. You understand what I'm saying? He's forgotten it. It's all gone. And you forget it too. And now Jesus would say, go and sin no more. I don't condemn you. Just go and sin no more. Okay? Okay. What's your name, son?
Scott.
Scott, what's your last name?
Walker.
Scott Walker. You want to receive Jesus into your heart today? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that he died for your sins? All right. Did you just pray this prayer with me now? Just close your eyes. Father, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. Just pray nice and loud so you can hear yourself pray. I ask you to forgive my sins. I confess them now. I ask you for your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus, I believe he's your son, and I believe he died for me. I believe he paid for my sins, and I believe he rose again, and he's now alive. Thank you, Father, for forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, that I'm made righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. And now, Jesus, I invite you to come into my heart. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to live inside me and make me God's righteousness. Come on in, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, Father, I thank you. Let me just pray for you now. Father, I thank you that you're faithful to your word. I thank you, Lord, that you answer the prayer of the earnest and sincere heart. I thank you, Lord, for coming into this young man's life. I thank you, Jesus, for saving him. I thank you for making him now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.